T-75. White House, Washington, D.C. All things considered, Dan McCarthy's resignation from Unica and his announcement of a newly created interspace contact agency to be headquartered in Buenos Aires had gone down as well as President Slater could have reasonably expected. There had been the predictable complaints from political opponents at home and abroad, naturally, spearheaded by those who had built their platforms on opposing what they considered hasty over-engagement with the messengers. More importantly, though, the single feeling most reported by global social media meta-analysis was a positive one. Hope. This made a lot of sense in Slater's mind, since the people who opposed investment in interplanetary engagement over efforts to solve problems closer to home had no more reason to oppose the new ICA than the bloated and costlier Unica. Some of the environmental demonstrators who had been interviewed in New York even said that if public money was going to be spent on interplanetary relations, it might as well be spent within a gridlock-free organization that could potentially deliver the benefits Dan spoke of. Opposition among those who feared engagement, on the other hand, such as the tinfoil hat-wearing protesters who heckled Dan in New York, had deepened significantly with the announcement. This, too, was understandable, since the breakaway unquestionably increased the likelihood of near-future research into all kinds of alien technologies, including the uplift powers that so concerned this subset of the population. Jan Geller, a constant irritation in her new role atop the Blitz media pyramid, had done all she could overnight to whip up hysteria about telepathy-based research in particular. This emotive and hot-button issue certainly merited discussion, but the kind of sky-is-falling paranoia Blitz was delivering to its millions of viewers did no one any good. No one except certain executives with bonus payments tied to viewing figures, Slater lamented, but this kind of irresponsible reporting was hardly a novel concern. Loud supporters of engagement, represented in New York by the white-clad counter-protesters, unsurprisingly rejoiced in Dan's announcement of the breakaway, while a fourth cohort composed of the silent majority, the silent, vast majority, were simply glad that the drawn-out political deadlock had been broken. Deeper analysis of the views held by this huge portion of the global population tended to reveal a moderate interest in what might be discovered. Frequent mentions of doubt cropped up as to whether powerful governments and corporations would ever allow the proliferation of new energy generation technologies and, more broadly, whether engagement with the messengers was likely to improve the everyday person's daily life in any meaningful way. The chance that it might greatly improve their lives was enough for the masses to support engagement, however, and the fact that the messengers themselves enjoyed sky-high approval ratings for their role in saving Earth from Il Diavolo ensured that the most common negative feeling was merely doubt that anything good would come of further engagement rather than fear that anything bad would follow. Dan's personal trust level, still flying in the high 90s and greater even than the messengers, likewise eased people's minds by convincing them that nothing shady would go on in Buenos Aires, for while the powerful breakaway nations would be unbound by political gridlock, even Chairman Godfrey himself would still answer to Dan, given his role as chief planetary liaison and given the unique esteem in which the messengers held him. 3 minutes before her next call was scheduled, an impatient and edgy Slater picked up her phone. Reasoning that the famously punctual Godfrey was bound to have left himself a buffer after whichever engagement he'd scheduled before their call, she expected him to pick up. Sure enough, he did. "I share your impatience, Valerie," he began, stifling a chuckle which soon gave way to a sigh. "How's it been going?" Slater asked. "I've got the Greeks and the Italians," Godfrey replied, a happier lilt coming through the words. "The Turks? We'll see. It's delicate right now, as you know. But really, since we naturally have everyone in your circle of influence as well as Dings and the Russians, plus everywhere with cultural ties to the UK, it's just the Western Europeans and a few holdouts who aren't on board. Italy could have a domino effect on the likes of Spain and Portugal, but I think only public pressure from within is going to bring the Germans and the French crawling to our table with their tails between their legs. That day will come, and until then the problems are all theirs. So it is merely impatience, Valerie, not concern." And what's this I hear about Dan returning home after one day of the 3-day summit? She asked, moving on. His work here was done, Godfrey replied in a tone that made his simultaneous shrug easy to imagine. And there's a baby McCarthy waiting at home. Have a heart. Slater remained quiet, as though awaiting a punchline. But speaking of them, Godfrey went on, I'm considering a quick Hearts and Minds tour, covering a handful of selected sites. Rome, Athens, ideally somewhere in Turkey. You know, to show our gratitude to the late joiners. And it certainly helps that those are such important cultural and historical sites. Why does that help? President Slater asked, not quite following. And what does this have to do with the McCarthys? Well, I want to take Leisha with me. That's what makes this worthwhile, and that's where the McCarthys come in. You know how Leisha is about insisting one of them is nearby before he'll touch down. Given how keen Dan was to get home and how completely Emma has withdrawn from the spotlight, I'm planning to ask Tara. Granted, she's not a McCarthy as such, but as good as. And she might even bring Clark, who Leisha is very fond of, thanks to their interaction just before Dan and Tara left for New Kerguelen. Slater considered this for a few seconds. Good luck talking them into it, but I see no reason not to try, she eventually replied. But why does the cultural significance of the sites help, per se? Think of the optics, Godfrey beamed. Cradles of culture and civilizations, homes to many of human antiquity's greatest civilizations. Where better to stand beside our partners in the search for treasures anew? I'll announce the tour tomorrow, after clearing it with the McCarthys. Like so much else, it can't work without them. But at least they're on our side. In this phone call between the Western world's two most powerful leaders, neither spoke for a few moments, as Godfrey's comments about Dan and his inner circle swirled around in their minds. That Dan's cooperation was an eternal prerequisite for the messenger's frustrated leaders across the world, in many cases so much so that they couldn't even consider the at least he's reasonable angle which comforted Godfrey. It was certainly an angle worth acknowledging, he believed, since his life would have been insufferable and potentially impossible if the individual who'd fallen into the ocean of unrequested responsibility in which Dan McCarthy now spent his life had been a self-serving or questionably motivated one. Like I said, it's worth trying, Slater replied. Knowing Dan, I imagine he'll be very keen to discover what's going on and what's out there on New Kerguelen. So selling this quick tour as a way to ensure we can do that soon is probably a smart way to get him on our side. If he thinks it's a good idea, Tara will be there. But as for tomorrow, when you do address Unica's assembly for the last time and lead the final walkout of breakaway delegates, is there anything else you're going to say that I should know about in advance? Nothing you wouldn't approve of, Valerie, he said. But I think it would be wise to allow you some plausible deniability. In any case, I best get back to shaking hands and making deals. Mucky old business. Good luck with the Turks, Slater replied. That's the biggest deal left to strike, so I'll leave you to it.